Okay. We are recording. And I am Lisa Braithwaite, public speaking coach and trainer, and I am the lead audience avenger in the Audience Avenger Alliance. I probably need to give myself a superhero name. I don't have one yet, and so it sounds kind of dumb to be like the lead superhero. But that's me, and so a lot of you already know me because you're either in the Audience Avenger Alliance or you're, you know, in my other programs or part of my community. And I know we also have people here today who are part of Gina's community. So this is fun. We're kind of all blending our communities together. And I do have the chat open, so if anybody is in the chat, wants to chat anything, you can chat over there, and then you can also post Q&A. So we have a lot of ways. I see the Tams, I see Tammy's here, I see Jim is here. So we have some people online who are already in the Q&A making comments, and so great. So there are a lot of ways to contribute, and I do request that any of you who, if I cut out or something happens, as we were just talking about, Mercury retrograde, if I cut out or I disappear, I would love it if people would post a note either in the Q&A or in the chat and say, hey, you're gone, and because I am calling in from Skype, and Skype has been known to drop calls before when I was in the middle of one of my teleseminars. So that is the joy of technology. Let's get started. I want to tell you all about Gina first. Gina Trimarco Cligro. Did I say it right?
Yeah, that's good.
No. Tell me how you say it.
I often ignore the Cligro because I'm not used to it. It's my married name now, so it's Cligro. Gina Trimarco Cligro.
Okay, good. So I guess I was saying it right.
You got it, yeah.
Cligro. And so Gina is a trainer and a business coach, and she's the founder and president of Gina and Company Coaching and Consulting. She's also the founder and the president of the Carolina Improv Company, which is a training and entertainment company that is based in Chicago and Myrtle Beach. And she also, if that's not enough for you guys, she's also the founder and owner of Uptown Theater, which is an improv comedy theater in Myrtle Beach. So she's got this great mix of business and comedy background. And so her companies provide business coaching and improv-based training in the areas of customer service, team building, leadership, and sales. And she has 20 years of experience in the entertainment, hospitality, and tourism industries as a trainer, general manager, marketing director, and TV producer. So the reason she's here today is because her expertise is in growing businesses to profitability and bringing teams of all levels together to improve productivity in an organization. And for those of you on the East Coast and Midwest, she's a native of Chicago, and she is a graduate of DePaul University. And, yes, so Tammy Witten is here from – Tammy, you're in North Carolina, right? So yeah, she's going another girl from the Carolinas. Tammy.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
To Florida now, but I'm from Charlotte. I'm a Carolina girl at heart.
All right. So good. We've got some Southerners on the call. And so let me tell you how I met Gina. I met Gina at an event we both attended a couple of months ago. For me, it was new. It's called Be the Change at Suzanne Evans' event. And I was new, brand new thing for me, but Gina's a veteran of the Suzanne Evans world. And she had a booth for her company. And I talked to one of her colleagues for a while, and it sounded really cool what they do. And then I finally met Gina. And, you know, what happened next? I got invited into some improv games. And, you know, I'm an old theater major, so, you know, I love to jump in and play improv games and stuff, but it's been a really, really long time. And so I was a little bit self-conscious and a little bit uncomfortable, you know, kind of like, oh, I don't know these people. Am I going to look stupid? You know, even though I love getting on stage, we all have our moments, right? And, but Gina's group was so much fun, and they were so welcoming and so just, you know, in the moment that it didn't take me long at all to start feeling comfortable and like I was part of the gang. So at that moment, I knew that I wanted Gina to come and be on a call with me, and I wanted her to meet you all. And the truth is, I didn't even know yet what I was going to do or how that was going to happen because I hadn't even started the Audience Avenger Alliance yet. It was just a gleam in my eye. But here she is, our first guest. So I want to ask Gina first to tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be doing what you're doing now.
Awesome. And thank you for having me. It was really fun having you at our booth. And playing with you and doing those superhero things, which we could talk a little bit about later. You know, my background is quite diverse, as you read so greatly in that bio. And the bottom line is that improv has been the thread of my life and of my career, going back to when I was 19 in college, where I started out as an accounting major to please my father. And to know me is to know that I have a hard time with numbers. So that's just funny in itself that was the path that I was on. And, you know, I wanted to please my dad, and his attitude was he thought that would be the best way for me to make a living. I grew up in a very blue-collar family without a lot of money. And so I was doing that, but really felt out of place and like something was missing because I'd always been a creative person. And I stumbled into improv classes at Second City, and in Chicago, that's, you know, the birthplace of Second City and of improv, and everybody goes there kind of with the dreams to be on Saturday Night Live, and I just went there, you know, to get my creative on and quickly discovered that I really missed being creative and that I had talents that could be applied in a job somehow. Didn't really know how, but I discovered my ability to write, produce, direct, bring things together and found my skill set in that. So in that phase of my life, my freshman year of college, improv actually taught me that, you know, you can have anything that you want if you're open-minded about it. So I quickly changed my major to journalism because I just felt that's really where I was supposed to be. And from there, went down a path of marketing. And so my career path, I spent some time in television production and then journalism and PR, and ultimately ended up as a marketing director in a variety of live theater productions and did that for several years, and then ultimately got recruited to run an IMAX theater of all things. I was heavily pursued to do that and kept saying no to it. But in the improv world, we often say yes and, which we live a yes and life. We say yes to things, meaning we're open to ideas. And I had to really listen because they kept coming, and I had to listen to what they had to say. And then when they told me how much money they were going to pay me, I'm like, well, that sounds really tempting now. And the reason why I kept saying no to it was my fear of failure to do something that I was not comfortable with. And specifically, I was going to have to know how to lead a team and run an operation. And when you come from a creative side, that's just not something you really want to do and you don't know how to do it. And the funniest part is that I really had to understand financials and accounting. So it was like a cruel little joke coming around that was a position I was being put in. And I took the job and had a great time at it and actually found another set of talents in myself of knowing how to run a business and hiring people and training people and really understanding the financials of a business, and got so well-rounded in that opportunity and took a theater that wasn't doing very well and made it extremely profitable and one of the top IMAX theaters in the world. And ultimately from that was recruited to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina to take over another IMAX theater based on my track record. A different company wanted me to go to Myrtle Beach to do that. And so that I did that in 2007 and quickly discovered how I felt like it was a big mistake. Now, nothing really is a mistake, in my opinion, in life, because everything leads us to the next thing. But it was a really miserable time for a variety of reasons, adjusting to a different place, a culture, a different way of working, lifestyle, just completely different way of doing business, and missing my home and missing the things I had in Chicago, and extremely stressful, and thought, well, maybe if I take an improv class to kind of refresh me, it would adjust my attitude, because honestly, improv is like the best therapy you can get. It's the cheapest therapy you can get. So if you're having any kind of emotional, stressful times, I would say take an improv class. I've had students at Carolina Improv tell me that I've saved their marriages through improv. I swear that's true.
Wow.
So I was really looking for kind of that release, that outlet, and nobody in Myrtle Beach knew what improv was or knew of any place to do improv, which depressed me even more. And someone said, well, why don't you just teach it yourself? Why don't you bring a group together, bring together your own playmates and create your own improv community? And I thought, oh my goodness, it's the last thing I want to do. I just want to play. I don't want to take this on. But then I heard that little yes and voice in the back of my head that says, you would be a hypocrite because improv is all about embracing the opportunity. So that kind of guilt crept up in me that I then sought out an opportunity to learn how to actually teach it so that I could create playmates. and through that process, I actually hired a company to come to my theater, to the IMAX, and do customer service training with my staff because I was so losing my mind with getting them into a really good customer service situation. And I hired this company to come in, and when I watched him do the training with my team, I just said, oh my goodness, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's it. That's my calling, watching what he was doing. And so I then went on to this path of working with him to learn how to teach. I was doing this just sort of for fun, and I scheduled my very first class, and I created a company name, and I made a business because of my marketing background, and got people signed up for the first class and found a location, and all while I was still at my IMAX job where I was miserable. And 1 week before that class started, I got fired. And there I was with business cards and a website and 3 students, and I was in business. And that was in 2008.
Nice.
So from there, you know, I spent the next year looking for a job while teaching classes in various places, and it really took off overnight, and we got press on it, and people were taking classes, and then they wanted to do shows, and we were doing adult recitals, and then they said, well, I wish we could have a theater, and then a mall approached me and said, hey, would you put a theater in our mall? And I'm like, that's insane. Yes, and I built a theater within a year and started doing shows with these people who were students and turned them into performers, and started out with 1 level class, and now we have 5 levels of classes. And then people said, can you bring this to our business and do it? And I said, yes, and. So we started using it in business and teaching people how to give better service and make more money in sales and be a better team using improv, and we went into businesses to do that and built up that division. And then a little over a year ago, I took the same concept to the coaching world and said, what if I worked with small businesses, coaching them using this yes and improv philosophy about how do we work in the moment? Because everything we do as entrepreneurs is about being in the moment. There is no script to anything mm-hmm. we're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of it's a long story, but you have to understand that improv really has been like my guiding. I've been on an improv path even in moments that I didn't know that I was.
Interesting. Yeah, it sounds like it was all really meant to be. That
yeah.
each thing led to the next, and that you ended up where you are now because of all of those things that fell into place, and because of the yes and life.
Right, and I'm happy you brought it back to that, because while it appears that, you know, that was meant to be for me, if you think about your own life, where you are in your life and in your business is where you're supposed to be. mm-hmm. based on your choices of saying yes or no to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Saying yes to everything, even yes to the failures, is always going to move you to the next place. And so will the no's. But we're supposed to be where we are just because that's how life works.
Right, because we're always going to learn something from where we are right now.
Exactly.
So wherever we are right now, there's another path that, I mean, we're following our path, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gina, will you explain a little bit? I know a lot of people probably haven't seen improv before, except for TV shows like Whose Line Is It Anyway or something like that, or some people don't know what it is at all. Could you explain a little bit about what improv is?
Sure. You know, the most common reaction to improv, especially when I come into an organization or talk to anybody about what we do, the first response is, "Oh, comedy! You're going to teach us how to be funny?" Yeah, no, we don't want to do that at our company. We don't do that, and that's probably one of the biggest frustrating things for anybody who applies improv in business, as I do. And you know, comedy is just one derivative. When you think about the word improv, it's a tool. It's an activity. It's something that we do on a regular basis. We are always improvising in the moment. You don't always have a script. So the art of improv is really the art of responding in the moment without a script. Comedy happens to be a byproduct, happens to be a result. So is some jazz music. So is mm-hmm. some dance. So mm-hmm. is a sales conversation. So is being picked up at a bar with some crazy pickup line, right? So when we think about improv, you know, again, the first thought is comedy, and it's used really well in comedy, like Whose Line Is It Anyway? They are working without a script. They truly are. They are so trained. An improviser is so trained to really be in the moment to listen. It all starts with the listen. And when you listen to what's being said to you, you can actually grow something from it. You can build something from that whole mm-hmm. listen. And so in the comedy world, that's what we do to make stuff up. We work together in tandem of you have an idea, and I'm like, yes, I love your idea, and what if we do this with that idea? And if this, then what? And that's kind of the game that we play to build a show without a script. And it's like, it's really playing make-believe like an adult. You get to be mm-hmm. a kid as an adult playing make-believe. And if you watch children, they're just amazing at the whole improv thing. They don't, nothing mm-hmm. scares mm-hmm. them. They have no inhibitions. They don't care about judgment. And that's really what we do when we're on stage. We don't care about judgment. We can't.
I love that. I'm taking notes, so because I want to remember these things and remind people, you know, who are on the call too, later that this is what we strive for as speakers as well. We, as much as people do care about judgment, we don't want to care about judgment. We want to be able to be in the moment and, yes, prepared, but at the same time, be able to be flexible and go with the flow no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that people are so concerned about getting on stage and messing up. You know, we're not like kids anymore. Kids don't care. They're not embarrassed. They try things. And they're curious, and they're not worried about what people think of them. And mm-hmm. I think it was interesting too what you said about comedy, because I think a lot of people, you know, don't want to do improv or fear improv. And similarly, I hear this from people who are afraid to get on stage because they say, "Well, I'm not funny." So they think they're not funny and they can't do improv because they think it's all comedy. But mm-hmm. they also think, "I'm not funny, so I can't do public speaking because I'm going to bore the audience if I can't, you know, crack jokes and make people laugh." And so I'm glad you said that improv is not, I mean, comedy can be a part of improv if you want to go there, but that's not really what it's about. As you said, it's about responding in the moment without a script.
Exactly. And it's, you know, we do these 8-week classes at our theater locally, and, you know, you can really find them in most major cities. You can find a class. And the first thing that we say to someone who comes into class is, if you're here to be funny, you're in the wrong place. Because we're not here to teach you to be funny at all. And we've, like, had a lot of stand-up comedians come in to take improv to improve their skills. And they're, you know, doing a stand-up routine, and I've had to chop them down and go, stop it.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to be funny, you will look bad in certain scenarios.
Well, I think, too, from what you're saying about improv, it sounds to me like a big part of improv is not trying to do anything. It's not about trying. It's about going with the flow, or, you know, not racking your brain about something, but just letting something come to the surface, right?
Mm-hmm. It's extremely organic. And one thing that we say is, don't talk about it, do it.
Yeah.
So oftentimes, when from a performance entertainment perspective, when they're on stage and we call them talking heads, and they're talking about, oh, we should go to the golf course, and we should call Susie to come with us, and we should. It's like, stop saying, just do it.
Right.
What if you just actually start the activity of golfing? It becomes that much more interesting.
Right.
So when you think about that from a business perspective, especially for speaking, right? Speaking, mm-hmm. for those who are concerned about, I'm not funny, I can't be a speaker, or I'm worried I'm, you know, not going to entertain them, I look at it differently. I look at it as, my role as a speaker is to engage them.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean I have to make them laugh. I might
right.
move them to make them cry. I might move them to make them think. I might move them to make them laugh. But my job is to engage them. And what I really love about my improv training, since I opened the theater, and I didn't really have this experience until I opened the theater and I had to direct shows, and I had never really had done that, I have gotten such amazing experience of having to engage an audience. Because when an audience does come to a show expecting to be entertained, it's so much more challenging
mm-hmm.
to really be in the moment with them. And so I've had to learn, and I've taught my directors the same thing, that, you know, I will literally step out into the audience and start talking to an individual person and engaging them and finding out what they're about or where they're from. And even when I do public speaking, I always find that one person in the audience that totally is connected with me, and you know it. You can
mm-hmm.
feel who's connected, and you can feel who's not connected. And I find those two or three people that are totally connected, nodding their heads or making eye contact or maybe chuckling at something I said, and I'll find a way to connect with them. And I did
mm-hmm.
this recently. I saw that this guy was wearing a shirt. It's a Joplin, Missouri. I was speaking at the National Association of Sports Commissions. And I said, oh, Joplin. I'm like, I have a friend who lives in Joplin. Do you know my friend so-and-so? And he's like, yes, I do. I'm like, you know, and so there was instant connection. So how do we find a way to engage versus make people laugh? And the other thing about, I think you had mentioned people are afraid about looking stupid or you know, making mistakes. I actually sort of look to make mistakes.
Mm.
I sort of have fun with making mistakes, whether it's public speaking or whether it's a show that we're performing in, because to me, when I make a mistake, I look more human to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the audience wants. I mean, the audience appreciates somebody on stage who's human.
Yeah.
Rather than really slick and polished and perfect, because the audience wants to be able to relate to you, and they want
exactly.
to be able to achieve what you've achieved. They don't want to look at you and go, oh my God, that person's so perfect, I could never do that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of, I mean, I have a lot of role models out there that I'm like, oh, she's so polished, what a great speaker, and she can really sell from the stage, and she looks amazing, and look at her body, and she looks perfect, and boy, I wish I could be like that. But there's still, you know, a little bit of, you know, intimidation or insecurity of not totally relating, but I'm going to relate to the person who might have a bad hair day, who has a problem with the PowerPoint, that is a little bit frazzled, and at the same time is a little self-deprecating about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, thank you for that you're not perfect. Now you have my attention.
Yeah, you get that part out of the way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I just saw a comment from Jan who says that this is the main reason she's been afraid to take improv, that she thought she wouldn't be funny. So she's very relieved for that clarification that you made.
Yay, I'm so happy that we can bust the myth one call at a time.
Yes, exactly. We'll get Jan into improv in no time.
Awesome. Yeah, you do not have to be funny. You just have to be willing to play, and you have to be willing to be imperfect, and you have to be willing to fail.
Yeah, willing to fail. I'm going to make a note of that for sure. Willing to fail, willing to play, and willing to be imperfect. So there's something, and I know you want to do some activities on the phone today, and I want to get to that, but something that I want to ask you about first is I do want you to talk about the yes and life. I want you to clarify that a little bit more. And specifically, something that I get a lot in my community from people is I'm an introvert. And, you know, so we've kind of talked about the people who are afraid to mess up and all of that. But I'd like to hear what you would say to the introvert who feels like not only can they not get on stage for whatever reason because they're an introvert, but that they also wouldn't try improv because, you know, because it's like, I'm sorry I'm going to say this, but I feel like a lot of people use that as an excuse. I feel like a lot of people like to label themselves and they feel comfortable in that label. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this, because I am an introvert. I'm an extroverted introvert or something like that. You know, if I can stay home from like a networking event where I don't know anybody, I will. If I can skip a party where I don't know people, I will. People think you can't be an introvert and get on stage, but for me, that's a whole different environment. I like being on stage because I'm in control. I'm the one person on stage. Everybody's there to pay attention to me. That's okay. But being in a group of people, trying to talk to people, introduce myself to people, all that, oh, my God, I would much rather stay at my desk and talk to people on Facebook. So I'm an introvert. That's why I'm saying this, because I am always pushing myself to get out there amongst people. And I don't enjoy it, but I do it anyway. So that's why I'm saying, if anybody's getting mad at me for saying, you know, being an introvert is an excuse, I'm speaking from my own personal experience. So what do you say to somebody who's like, oh, I'm an introvert. I can't get on stage. I can't do improv. It's impossible because I have this genetic problem, you know, or this genetic issue whether I'm an introvert.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say all that. Would you believe that I'm exactly the same way as you?
I totally believe it. I think a lot of us theater stage people are very introverted.
Very. And, you know, it's, and even my husband still disagrees with me on it. I'm like, but I'm the one who likes to stay home on Saturday night if I can. I don't, you know, and because of my job, I'm always out in front of people and always speaking. I really just like quiet time and not to be in a big crowd. So the introvert excuse really is an excuse. And I'm not saying it's a bad excuse. I think that introvert excuse, there's other things involved with it. Something has gone awry in the past or your childhood. You got up once and people laughed at you when you were a kid, and now you carry it with you. I mean, because we've all had that. At the end of the day, this is what I like to say. At the end of the day, we all want to be liked. We all have a desire to be liked. People don't sit in the front row at a show or at a presentation because they don't want to be chosen to speak to. They don't want to be called upon because they don't want to make a mistake, because they don't want to look stupid, because they don't want people to laugh at them, because at the end of the day, we all want to be liked. is what mm-hmm. it really comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
And so this introvert excuse is really more about I'm afraid to fail and look stupid. I mean,
yeah.
that really, in my opinion, hate me if you want, but that's really why people don't want to get up and do it and say they're introverted. As far as, I hear this all the time in improv. You do that improv thing. Oh, I could never do that. I could never be that funny. I could never get up there and do it. And it's BS. Everybody can do it because you were born with the ability to do it.
Right.
So if you look at children, let me put it this way. If you were ever a child, you would be able to do improv. That's how simple it is. And really what it is it's a practice. And it's a practice and an exercise of our brain muscle. So just
yeah,
like you would have
yeah.
to, if you want to exercise, you want to be a better runner, you're going to have to run more. But if you want to be faster on your feet figuratively, then you're going to have to exercise your brain muscle. And
I
there
love
are ways
that.
There are things that you can do. There are, you know, and they're using improv with Alzheimer's patients and Asperger's patients, and it is brain exercises. So the reason why, you know, you'll see some of us perform and go, oh, my God, they're so good. Well, we practice it constantly. We are constantly getting up there and practicing different exercises to improve our listening skills, to improve our attention skills. I mean, that's such a big problem for us today,
mm-hmm,
is to
mm-hmm.
not, that we're not focused. And so these exercises help us do that. So, you know, everybody can do it. The introverted excuse really often is about the fear of failure.
Yeah.
And I say embrace the failure because
yeah.
it's fun. It really is fun. I, like, laugh at myself. I'm like, oh, look at the stupid thing I just did. And I'll call it out to the audience. And they laugh.
Right.
It's really that easy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I love athlete analogies. That's actually one of my favorite kinds of analogies. I was never an athlete. I mean, I was briefly an athlete in high school, and I sucked. But I find athletic analogies to be so similar to speaking. And this is a really good one. Like, if you're a runner, you need to practice. You need to exercise your muscles. And
mm-hmm.
in order to get more comfortable with thinking on your feet, being okay with failing and all those kinds of things, you have to exercise your brain. And it makes perfect sense. I love that. And we're getting a lot of good comments in the chat. Well, first of all, I wanted to tell you that Jim Eaton said hi, and he's a local comedian here in town. So he made a comment, anyone can be a funny comic. It takes talent to be an unfunny comedian. So, yeah, I mean, I totally get that. And then Jan, who's on the line, she's a private investigator, and she said she
Ooh.
Thinks you should teach improv at investigator seminars, because you know, investigators really need improv skills, right?
That would be fun. Well, you know, I do a lot of work with attorneys, from the trial attorneys. Yeah, so that would be cool.
Yeah, and my brother too, he's a fraud investigator up in Sacramento, and I know it's the same thing. You have to sit down and interview these people and be willing to, you have to kind of shift and change, you know, where you're going with your conversation. Let's talk about or do an exercise. And you haven't really talked about yes and yet, but I'm not sure if that's the exercise that you're planning.
That is how great that works out like that.
How did I do that? So good. So then you can explain yes and
yes.
Then I can do the exercise, or we can take a volunteer. Either way, it would be whatever we want to do. If somebody is online on the chat or in the Q&A and you want to volunteer to do the exercise with Gina, just, you know, say me, and we'll pick you.
Okay, great. So I'll talk a little bit about the whole yes and concept
okay.
and philosophy. The yes and philosophy in improv, and you often see me, you know, hashtagging yes and life,
mm-hmm.
is really about acceptance of ideas and building upon them. And the beauty of this is that we can apply it in every aspect of our life, in every aspect of our jobs and our careers and our
mm-hmm.
companies. And so when we yes and, if you think about how many times have you yes butted or been yes butted?
Yeah.
Right? So that yes but is a no, right? It's like,
right.
yes, that's a great idea, but. So imagine if you had conversations that were more like, yeah, that's a great idea. And we could also do this with it. Ah, that's good too. And we could do this with it. And so it's not ever about saying no to someone. So it's a really great way to get your two cents in without saying no necessarily. So if you think about, like if I have an employee who comes to me and says, Gina, you know, we should do this. And my inside voice is like, yes, but we don't have money, but we don't have time, but it's not in the plan. What if I took the approach of, yes, that's a really interesting idea. And if we try doing it when the season's over and we have more cash in the bank, we could try that. You see, it sounds different. So the yes and philosophy is really about listening to what people have to say, listening to their ideas, listening to their objections, listening to their pain points, responding in the moment, but really giving time to listen, especially in a sales perspective. The money is made in the listening and in the silence.
Yeah.
So really taking the time to listen and then using the and part of the yes and as a way to build together with someone, build an idea, divert the situation, handle the objection, and then work back and forth with each other. So it's about being positive. It's about being open and accepting. It's about listening, and it's about making a contribution and building together. So imagine if you just had that philosophy with everything that you do, kind of like my whole path in life. I said yes along the way to everything, you know, and sometimes no, but, you know, I just was open to the things that, you know, I just wanted to say no to because I didn't think they were a good idea.
Right.
That's the overall concept. So as far as the exercise goes, this is what we call literal yes and it's an exercise between the two of us. We do this in all of our training. It is the foundation. You can't do this enough. I need it all the time just to remind me to be open-minded and to listen and be patient. So it's a conversation that goes back and forth that is kind of an awkward-sounding conversation, but the point of it is to force you to be in the moment, to listen, and to handle things that you don't agree with.
Right. I love that. I'm gonna see if there's anybody on the line who would like to. I just unmuted the line. Does anybody want to jump in and play the yes and game with Gina? Anybody?
Well, I could do it, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to stretch myself. I'm typically not good on the spot, and I'm a big processor.
Perfect. This is Lisa.
It is.
Lisa, this will be good for you. And you're just like, I'm the same way. The only reason I wanted to find a volunteer is because I'm managing all these dashboards on my computer screen right now. And I was I don't think I'm going to be able to focus enough on what Gina's saying if I have these dashboards. So, so Gina, go ahead and tell Lisa what she needs to do.
Okay, great. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Gina.
Okay, so this is how the conversation is going to go back and forth. It sounds a little complicated at first, but I'll kind of walk you through it and kind of side coach you. So you're going to start out with a really simple phrase. It could be, it's hot in Las Vegas. It's whatever you want that simple phrase to be, and you want to keep it simple. You don't want to get too long with these phrases, and I'll talk about that later. So you're going to make a simple phrase. I'm going to be listening to you 100% because I have to repeat back what I heard you say. So I'm clarifying what I heard you say. So I literally have to say the word yes, repeat back what I heard you say. Then I have to literally say the word and add something new to it. So, for example, if you were to say to me, it's really hot in Las Vegas? I would say, yes, it's really hot in Las Vegas, and I bet you look fabulous. And your response would be, yes, you bet I look fabulous. And I miss you, Gina. And
okay.
I would then say, yes. I would say yes, and I would add that last part. So all we're doing is we're repeating that last part that the other person said. So
okay.
you have no time to analyze, think ahead, prepare, because
mm-hmm.
you have to listen to what I said so that you have to repeat it, and then you get to speak your thought. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Your thought could be as simple as, I don't know what the heck to say, Gina, or it could be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't even have to make sense or relate to what I just said. It just has to be in the moment, created in the moment. So it's going to make more sense as we go, and I may side coach you along the way to help you out. Is that cool?
That's cool. How about if we do a real-life situation? I'm supposed to be at a shoot in 2 hours, and because of the weather here being windy and not sunny, they want to cancel the shoot, so we could role play that.
Well, and see, already you're already overthinking it. See, you just totally overthought it, and all I want you to do is give me a simple statement, and just a very simple statement. We'll go from there.
It's windy in Las Vegas.
Yes, it's windy in Las Vegas, and it's lunchtime.
It's windy in Las Vegas, and it's lunchtime, and I'm hungry.
Okay, so all you needed to repeat was the part that I added on.
Okay.
Okay, so all you have to repeat is the, yes, it's lunchtime, and you add something new to it. So you don't have to worry about everything else. Does that make sense?
Okay, yep.
So let's start again from the very beginning and just give me that simple phrase again.
It's windy in Las Vegas.
Yes, it's windy in Las Vegas, and it's sunny in Myrtle Beach. So now you're going to say yes?
Yes, it's sunny in Myrtle Beach, and I miss you.
Yes, you miss me, and you're buying me a ticket to Las Vegas.
Yes, I'm buying you a ticket to Las Vegas, and when I get off the call.
Yes, when you get off the call. And I love the book that you sent me that Jesse wrote.
Yes, I
love
the book that Jesse wrote, and I'm rereading that book now.
Yes, you're rereading that book now, and I need new lipstick.
Yes, I need new lipstick.
No, you're going to say you need new. You're clarifying what I said. You need new lipstick.
Yes, you need new lipstick, and I need a complete makeover.
Yes, you need a complete makeover, and I have friends who can help you.
Yes, I have friends who can help you and do your hair, too.
Yes, and do my hair, too, and my dogs want to go outside.
Yes, your dogs want to go outside and meet my cat.
Yes. And meet your cat, and you're coming over tonight for dinner.
Yes, I'm coming over tonight for dinner. Would you like me to bring red, white, or champagne?
And just make that a statement instead of a question.
And I will bring champagne.
Excellent. Awesome. Good job. How'd that feel?
That was too bad.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, because it's an awkward kind of exercise, and that's why it's called literal yes and. But let's talk a little bit about what that experience was like for you. What were you thinking through that process, and how was it for you?
Well, the only thing I kept thinking was, am I supposed to say yes, or am I supposed to start with and, or did it matter if I started with yes or and?
Okay, so let's actually tackle that one. So that right there is like an analysis paralysis issue, right?
Okay.
You're spending so much time in the moment trying to get the exercise perfect.
Yes. Because I was so uncomfortable doing it. So I was over-processing, should I say this or should I say that?
Right, and you actually kicked off the whole exercise with a, let's role play. I was supposed to be at a shoot, and it's 2 hours ago, right? And all I needed you to do was be completely in the moment with me and talk nonsense.
Okay, well, I still stretched myself to do things that I didn't think I would do.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And it's just another great example of how we all have a tendency to overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
You're so true.
Right? It's just overcomplicating it when it's like, just repeat what you heard me say. That's all I want you to do. That's it. Repeat what I said and then come up with something else. And I was trying to throw some loops at you, like, and you're flying me to Las Vegas. Like, I wanted to, like, throw things at you that were going to make you, like, I don't want to, what if I don't want to fly her to Las Vegas? What if I don't, right? Like, I'm throwing the objections at you to force you to still be in acceptance of what I wanted from you.
Okay, but because I'm a person that hates conflict, I would always go along to get along, so I wouldn't.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. What else? Any other observations of the exercise?
You brought up a really good point. I was overthinking it and not really being in the moment, so I need to figure out where that's showing up and stop that.
Awesome. That's great. And again, we can all improve at this if we practice it. And just this simple yes and exercise can really, you could practice it with Jesse and go back and forth with it. And actually, I know I'm giving you guys like a free gift, but now I feel like I'm going to give you two free gifts because I want to give you an example of how to practice this yes and, but we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah, Tina, why don't you talk about that now?
Okay.
I want to make sure you have time to talk about that before we do questions. So we have a little bit of time. So go ahead and share. And I would love to, you know, some people are making comments in the chat and how they thought it was really great and they loved it. And so there's a lot of good. There was one person, Karen, said she couldn't hear us anymore. And I don't know if that's still the case. So, Karen, I hope, if you can't hear me, you won't know I'm asking you this. But if you can, I hope you'll type back in the Q&A or you can type in the chat. And in that case, I can actually answer you back. So, Gina, why don't you go ahead and share?
Yeah, I would love to give everybody a free 3-month subscription to something that's a virtual program that I do every month, similar to you having this call today. Mine is called the Sales Success Circle. And if you go to salessuccesscircle.com, you can actually opt in to receive it for free for 3 months, and your first call would be in July 17th. And it's an opportunity to get some content from me in the sales arena and just general business and in general, any kind of business, because I'm really a business coach. And there's also Q&A on it. And we have a Facebook forum and community, and it's a great opportunity to connect with other people and get some questions answered on how to make more money in your business. So salessuccesscircle.com. And if anybody would like the yes and exercise that we just did is kind of an example to play with, go ahead and email me at Gina, G-I-N-A, at ginaandcompany.com. So it's Gina spelled out, G-I-N-A-A-N-D-C-O-M-P-A-N-Y. Gina@ginaandcompany.com, and I'll send you guys a copy of that yes and exercise.
That's great. Thank you so much. And I wrote that down too, so I will be able to remind everybody, everybody who signed up for this call, I'll be able to remind you all of her salessuccesscircle.com website and the Gina@GinaandCompany.com email address. The Sales Success Circle, I totally recommend that you all check this out and that, yes, Jan, Gina@GinaandCompany.com. 3 months free, it's a great deal, and I've just been on my first call with the Sales Success Circle, and it was great, and it was really interactive too. It's great because Gina really interacts with her audience a lot. There are a lot of people on the call, and everybody's kind of, you know, chiming in and writing in the chat and all that kind of stuff too, which is a lot of fun. So I definitely recommend that, and that you email Gina and get the yes and exercise. Because this is, awesome. You know, this is the kind of stuff we want to keep doing, right? We want to keep working that part of our brain that is so, like a couple people are saying in the chat, that we don't like conflict, we're afraid of looking stupid. You know, there's so many things as we leave childhood behind to become adults, that we're so afraid of what people think of us. And so we have to practice.
And I want to chime in on that, because here is another thing I want people to take away with them. Nobody really cares, because exactly. everybody is so concerned about themselves and looking mm-hmm. stupid that they don't have time to look at you looking stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you could be in that mindset, that's what I usually tell people when we do training, and we do a lot of 2-day immersions on using improv in business. So that is another thing, you know, go out and do it. Go do it, go take it, go study it, go practice it. The first thing I tell people in our immersions are, if you feel like you look awkward or stupid, look at the person next to you. They're in the same boat with you. And that usually gets a laugh, and everybody just relaxes and they're like, okay, we're all going to be silly together.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. We are all in the exact same boat. You can't tell by looking at people. You know, that's the thing. Everybody thinks, well, I look nervous or whatever. You can't tell by looking at people. You can just, you know, it's like, some people are better at hiding it than others. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So I want to make sure that we have, that we can do a couple minutes of questions, because, Gina has to take off, and, this is good. So a couple people were commenting in chat about how we don't like conflict, and Jim chimed in, and I said, maybe it's a girl, you know, maybe it's more of a girl thing. And Jim said, I'm a man and I don't like conflict unless I can make jokes from the conflict. That's the benefit of being a comedian. You can always see the joke in everything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute everybody. So everybody's free to jump in and talk. If anybody has a question that you would like to ask Gina before she has to leave, feel free to jump in, and whoever talks first gets to ask the question, basically.
Are you coming to Florida anytime soon?
Where are you?
I'm in the Fort Lauderdale area, right between Fort Lauderdale and Miami.
Okay, I was just there recently. You know, we're not that far from you. So if you wanted to do some improv, it's a real quick flight to Myrtle Beach, and we do a lot of weekend immersions in Myrtle Beach.
Okay, I have a sister that has a beach house up there. I'm just going to have to make an appointment to go take a vacation and visit her at her house. And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got immersions in July, September, and October. So you have a couple options.
Okay. And your website, so I can know what your schedule is?
Go to improvtoincome.com.
Improvtoincome.com.
Correct.
Okay, I'll write that down.
And Gina, that has improvtoincome.com has your training schedule?
It's got the schedule for July, and then it has a you can opt in to get on our list to get notified on the next schedule.
Great. Excuse me. Good. Anybody else have something that you want to ask Gina? Do you want to ask Gina to come to your state?
Oh, I wish Gina could. I don't know what her fee is, but I wish that Gina would be a keynote speaker at a Fally conference in May.
I do keynote talks. I do travel for that. And we do travel to do improv immersions in other states, and we work with a lot of businesses that will go into your business to either work with your team, or if you're a coach, will come in and work with your clients, and so you could definitely hire us to come in and do that. So there's a lot of different things that we can do to help you in using this. Whether you come to us or we come to you, there's a lot of opportunity.
Because I think the whole private investigative industry just doesn't realize how valuable this skill set is, and every state has their association, and they have their annual conferences, and they need improv. I really believe they all need improv.
That's awesome. Well, would you
yeah.
do me a favor and email me your contact information so we
yeah,
can
Yeah, I will,
to
and
chat?
You should get in touch with every state association of private investigators. And
awesome.
Going in and doing it, because people do undercover, they get caught doing surveillance, and they need to know how to improv their way out of getting burned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah.
And Gina, are you still planning on coming to, I say coming, I'm in Santa Barbara, but to me, you're on the East Coast, so I say coming to Las Vegas because at least that's the West Coast. Are you still planning on coming to Las Vegas in October?
I'm not 100% sure yet. We're still working on that.
All right.
We definitely talk about.
Yeah, so I'm also following up with Gina on a program that she's hoping to bring out to the West Coast in the fall. So, and if that happens, don't worry, I will let you all know about it. But definitely go get on Gina's mailing list at improvtoincome.com, because that way you can find out when she's going to be coming to your state or your city, or, you know, what kinds of things she's doing, and maybe you're going to want to fly out there and jump in on one of her classes.
Does she do anything with NSA, National Spirits Association?
Not yet. It's on my list of many things to do. I keep getting on the site to work on it because it is a little lengthy of a process.
I think that everybody would love you.
Yeah,
oh,
that would be great. That would be great.
Thank you.
Well, we are right at the top of the hour. And I know Gina has to run, and I'm sure some of you have to run. So I just want to let you all know that this recording, and for those of you on the call, you're already here, but some of you came a little bit late. So I want to let you know that this recording is only going to be available until Monday, June 30th, because this is going to be this is a resource for the Audience Avenger Alliance. So for people who aren't members of the Audience Avenger Alliance, something to keep in mind is if you want to be able to have access to these kinds of resources and materials, you'll want to sign up. But for now, you can listen to this until the 30th, and everybody who signed up, I'll send you the link where you can go for the replay of this call. So if you came in late or had to leave early, then you'll catch the whole thing. And I want to thank Gina for being a totally awesome, engaging first guest on our Audience Avenger Alliance speaker series, and for offering you such awesome, generous gifts. And I will be emailing you out those links as well so that you can make sure to get in touch with her and sign up for her Sales Success Circle.
Thank you so much. It's awesome. And I never feel like an hour is enough time.
It isn't. It really isn't. And so maybe we'll all have you come back another time and we'll go longer and we'll do more fun activities.
That would be fun.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here today, and I'll follow up with the replay link, and I'll see you all soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference.